glory, glory. Thank you, band. That was awesome. Very nice. Very nice. Well, also, October apparently was Pastor Appreciation Month. So we got a lot of cards and thank yous and texts and Facebook stuff. And we want to say thank you guys for honoring us and the other pastors that are in the building. Thank you so much. It was nice to get a little battery pump, you know, hey, you're doing great. And, you know, Pastor Nicole, you know, she's going to get there, Pastor Andy. I said, I know she is. Hallelujah. It's going to be good. Praise the Lord. No, it was wonderful. So thank you for thinking of us and your busy schedule. We appreciate that. Everybody needs encouraged. Amen. And so do we. Hallelujah. So thank you so much for that. Also, before I begin, most everybody knows what Tuesday is, right? What's Tuesday? Another day? Yeah, it's voting day, right? Voting day. And thank God, America, we still get the privilege and the right and the freedom to vote. So if you are blessed enough not to have a television or watch the news, then you don't know what's going on. And I've had several people say, Pastor Andy, we don't even know who to vote for. So we do, and again, you must be blessed, I'll tell you, you know, to not have to hear everything that's been happening for the last year. So we don't even know who the candidates are for different things, our local government and stuff like that. So we have a little thing out there at the Welcome Center that we did by the Ohio Roundtable. We've done it for 30, 40 years. Pastor Dosick used to do it. It's out there, help you guide and stuff who our local governments are and senators and all that kind of stuff. So if you need some help, it's out there. But I do encourage you guys to vote. It's our rights, our freedom. Hallelujah. A lot of our ancestors, our grandparents, great parents, they fought so we could have this freedom to vote. And I would say this. That Wednesday morning when you wake up, whatever happens, we have to remember that the White House is not the light of the world. You, the church, are the light of the world. Amen? Hallelujah. We are the light. And so no matter what happens, we're still going to be the church. God still has a plan. Ultimately, it's His plan. Whatever happens, He's in control, is He not? That's what the Bible says. So we're still going to be Christians. We're still going to be the light of the world. And we're still going with the kingdom purpose. Because God's about the kingdom. And that's what we've been preaching about the whole last month. Amen? All right. He's not a democracy, a theocracy. He is about kingdom. And so we're going to continue to do what God wants us to do until we hear, woohoo, the big sound and we're out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. I dread the people that have to see all of our clothes on the ground. What in the world is happening here? Man. So, but praise the Lord. We're still going to be saved. We're still going to be Christians. We're still going to love the Lord come Wednesday morning, no matter what happens. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter what happens, we're still going to be the light, and we may have to be even brighter to the dark world that we're in. He's coming back, and it may be sooner than we think. Remember, every prophecy has been fulfilled for Him to return. The ashes of the red heifer are there. They have it. It's done. All we have to do is keep our wicks trimmed and be ready. Man, it could happen right now. Wouldn't that be awesome? Woo! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get to the message today. We're starting a new series this month called Release the Blessing. Or Release the Kraken, as some of the movies that you saw. It's Release the Blessing. And my question in my subtitle is it God's will to be blessed? Man, there is so much out there. When you start to research this stuff, there is so much stuff out there on, are Christians supposed to be blessed? They're supposed to be blessed. Are they supposed to be rich? Are they supposed to be poor? Are they supposed to do this? Are they supposed to do that? Are they supposed to beat themselves on the back? Are they supposed to do whatever? All kinds of stuff, crazy stuff. So go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about it and interpret it correctly, and hopefully I'll give you some things today that's going to help you with that, all right? So if you have your Bibles today, in order to answer that question, we must go all the way back to the beginning again. I don't know why every time I preach, we start in Genesis and we end in Revelation. Man, and not those of you who've never heard me preach before, by 1 o'clock we'll be able to eat, that's okay. All the restaurants will be empty by then, it'll be okay, you'll get in right away. So start in Genesis if you have your Bibles or you need an iPad or iPhone or iLid. We'll have them up here. Genesis, the first chapter, we're going to start in verse 27. In order to ask the question, is it God's will to be blessed? We're going to start here. Genesis 1:27 says this. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and the every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, the King James Version says, have dominion over every creeping thing. Ladies, you have dominion over every creep that you come across. Woo! Hallelujah. Get away from me in Jesus' name. You have dominion over them. Praise the Lord. It was supposed to be funnier than that, but okay, fine. All right. So, they had dominion. That means supreme authority. Adam and Eve did. They subdued it. In other words, they had control. They took control over Eden and the earth, everything that was in it. And they were fruitful. They produced. They had babies, and they were filling the earth. Those are the things that God gave them. He blessed them to do these things. God stated or started creation out with a blessing. Started it with a blessing. He created them and he blessed them. But then, of course, we all know Adam and Eve sinned. They sinned. In Genesis 3:17, God said to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat, cursed is the ground for your sake. In other words, the blessing was lost. It was gone. And they had to, the Bible says, toil for their living, toil for their food, sweat, blood, and tears to eat and to live. The blessing had departed because of their sin. And of course, God wanted to restore that blessing. And of course, God had a plan. And so 9 generations later, Noah comes on the scene. And in Genesis 5, verse 29, it says, and he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands. So now God is starting to have compassion on his people. I'm going to comfort them. I know they're working hard. You know, I know that Noah didn't sin, but because of it, the land is still cursed. But I'm going to start comforting people. I'm going to start helping them. Amen? All right. Genesis then 9:1 says, so God blessed Noah. He blessed him and his sons, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Basically, Noah was picking up where Adam and Eve had left off. He said, now it's your turn. Do what needs to be done. Do what I called Adam and Eve to do. Be fruitful and multiply. And then, of course, God is restoring now blessing in the earth once again, and he blesses Noah and his sons. So he's trying to bring blessing back to the earth again, to his people. And so now turn to Genesis chapter 12 on down, and we're going to look at verse 2 and 3. Another man now comes on the scene, and of course his name is Abram. And he said to Abram, I will make you a great nation, and I will do what? I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall what? Be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So here we see that God said, not only will I bless you, Abram, but now you are going to start being a blessing because of my blessing that I have and have given to you. Amen. Now you're going to start returning it back. It's not just one-sided. Okay. And now he's blessing families on the earth, he said. They shall be blessed. So now God is blessing not just people, but families. And of course, we see that Abram is going to be a blessing to others because God blessed him. Hallelujah. And in Genesis 22, go on down a little further. Genesis 22, verse 18. God said to him, Abraham, that in your seed the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Wow. Because of one man's obedience, God is now blessing nations. Wow, that's amazing. I don't know about you, but are you part of Abraham's seed? Yes. I am. I know that. And I know that since that, I am blessed. Because he said it. So we look at, he's blessing people now, he's blessing families, and he's blessing nations because of one man's obedience. Woo! Thank God for Abraham, a friend of God. Hallelujah. So when we look at Abraham's wealth now, because of the blessing of God. It says in Genesis 13, 2, Abram was very poor. What was he? I know that's a cuss word, guys. I understand. I know in the Christian, a rich. Oh, I feel bad when I say that word. But it says that he was rich in livestock, in silver, and what? Gold. And of course, one of his servants said this in Genesis 24, 35. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And with all that wealth, he didn't just store it up for himself. No, he didn't. Abraham in Genesis 14, 20 gave a tenth of all the plunder the priest Melchizedek gave to the king priest Melchizedek when he plundered these other kings. He wasn't told to do that. He was being a blessing because the blessing that came on him. That's what God told him to do, right? Amen. In Genesis 18, 1 and 8, it shows that he was hospitable to others. He was a blessing to others. He passed on his wealth and blessing to other people. So he was blessed, and with his blessing, he blessed others. Amen. That was Abraham. Hallelujah. So God said that the blessings are to come unto Abraham's seed. And I thank God I'm part of his seed. I hope you believe that. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. If you're born again, you're Abraham's seed, and that blessing is yours. It's a promise. All right, all throughout the Bible, material blessings followed those who loved God and who were obedient. Those are some key words. Obedient and love God. Blessings came on those people. Isaac was another one that was blessed. And I believe it was really cool. You know, a lot of you guys had parents that were Christians, yes? My mom and dad were saved. My mom and dad were Christians. I've seen them pull out the tithe every Sunday and bring it to the church. Well, thank God Isaac got to see Abraham and Sarah live a godly lifestyle. He got to see Abraham and them all live by faith, step by step. And he got to see his dad and mom grow in God and be blessed in God. And he watched them become a blessing to other people as well. And a lot of you and your families, you got to watch your parents do the same thing. And thank God that we had those kind of parents. And of course, that was also Isaac. He had that with his mom and dad. They walked by faith, and it says Isaac was also blessed to have many material possessions as well. In Genesis 26, 12 through 14, it says, then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord, what? Blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became, what the Bible said, very prosperous. Very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So much so that even his enemies, the Philistines, envied him. Wouldn't that be nice? Your enemies go down by your street. Yep. That house. He must have stole that house. Yeah. Let's never forget that our Creator is the source of all of our blessings. All of them. He is the source. And you'll find that in Acts 17, 24, and 25 if you want to read it. Whether our material things are few or many, we need to express our thanks to our Heavenly Father. A lot of us, we don't think that we're blessed because we don't have maybe two cars. But thank God you got clothes on. That's a blessing to everybody else that's looking at you. Amen? Come on, we got water. North Carolina don't have water right now. We do. That's a blessing. We're blessed. We get to sit in a beautiful sanctuary. Hallelujah, that's a blessing. Because where I go next week, it may be dirt floors. Thank God we have toilets that work. And we have toilet paper. That's a blessing. Trust me, I'll know next week. That's a blessing. Toilets are a hole in the ground. There is no toilet paper. There's no lights. I was in a school one time. I had to pee so bad. I was getting ready to do a thing, and I had to pee so bad. And they said, right over there is the house, the little shelter for the, oh, you guys got an outside thing for the kids at school. Yeah, yeah. I opened the door, I walked in the door, and I shut the door, and I was getting ready to pee, and I looked at the back wall, and the back wall was moving. There was billions of flies just moving, and I just, back, I didn't have to pee after that. Yeah, thank God. You know, when you're in Nairobi, Kenya, which is kind of like America a little bit, when you go to the bathroom in the mall, you have to pay for every piece of toilet paper. And you have to ask him how many sheets. I don't know. Give me 10, I guess. Okay, that'll be 100 shillings. All right. Jeez. How embarrassing is that? Thank God we have toilet paper in bathrooms. We're blessed, folks. We're blessed. All right, let's move on. Let's look at David here. In 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verse 9. It says here, and I have been with you. This is God talking to David. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of great men who are on the earth. See, David had faith, and he had humility. And he loved God and obeyed most of the time. All right, everybody's not perfect. He obeyed most of the time, and the massive amount of wealth did not corrupt his character. God knew his heart. He could handle it. And so they say, historians, and I looked all this stuff up, hours of just mundane research that I don't like to do. They say that David was worth over $200 billion. That's today's market. $200 billion with a B, dollars. And he gave lots of money away, lots of it away, to several cities, just in one passage of scripture verse. And in 2 Chronicles 22:14, he tells how much gold and silver and bronze and iron and timber and stones that he gave to build the house of the Lord, that he gave to build the church. It was approximately $18 billion that he gave to build the church. How many Davids we got in here? Hallelujah. $18 billion he just gave to the church to build the kingdom of God. Wow. Man, that's awesome. Hallelujah. In 2 Samuel 5:11, he even had a pretty nice home that he built for himself. You mean we're allowed to have nice things too? Well, yes. When the blessing comes and you use it properly, guess what? It trickles on you too. Okay. So I got three amens. All right. Okay. God blessed him greatly because he had a good heart. He obeyed and he listened to the Lord. Now, David's son Solomon, oh boy, he's on a whole nother level. A whole nother level. He was worth, in today's market, are y'all ready for this? $2.1 trillion. $2.1 trillion. Wow, what kind of tractor could you get with that, Jim? Woo, baby. Man, the Bible says that he had and built 4,000 stalls just for his horses and his chariots. 4,000 stalls just for his horses and chariots. I mean, that's just a few more stalls than Bucky's gas station has. You know what I'm saying? For those of you that's been there. Jeez, it's amazing. And here's the crazy thing about David's son Solomon. He never asked for it. He didn't want it, didn't ask for it. So if he didn't ask for it, and God, of course, was against it anyway, because we need to be humble, then, of course, God said, what a nice guy. He is just my man. Good. Finally, someone who's humble enough where I don't have to do what I don't want to do because it's against my will anyway. Man, Solomon was the right man for the job. But it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, Solomon asked God, now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? And then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom that I have made you king. Remember who puts people in power. All right, remember that Tuesday. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, God said. But it goes on. And I will give you what?
Riches.
Ooh, there's that word again. Riches and what else?
Wealth
and what else? Honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you like this. If God was against wealth, honor, and riches, he wouldn't have given it to Solomon. But he did without Solomon asking. I can hear a cricket in here. That was awesome. That was awesome. That was amazing. Listen, Proverbs 10:22, that was so good. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes a person what?
Rich
and adds what?
No sorrow
to it. It's like, I have to do this, I don't want to. No, God is happy to do it. He wants us blessed. Proverbs 13:22 says, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. But the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. Okay. Well, here's the deal. If I'm supposed to leave an inheritance to my grandchildren, and yet God is against wealth, prosperity, and honor, how am I supposed to give anything to my grandchildren? What am I supposed to give them? My shoes that have holes in them? And it even says the wealth of the sinner is coming to us anyway. So what, did it just say that? So apparently God is for blessing. Hallelujah. Now, yes, you can leave a good legacy of a blessing to your kids. You can leave children and grandchildren faith. Hallelujah. We believe that happens. Those are great inheritance. Spiritual blessings are awesome. But God is talking about spiritual wealth here. That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. And thank God, even the sinner's wealth has passed to us. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, we've said a lot of good things about blessing. Let's talk about some bad things about blessing. There's a downside to blessing. There really is to material blessings. There's a downside to them. Proverbs 21:20, God tells us this, the wise have wealth and luxury. But you know what? And he didn't even say Christians here. He just said the wise. Well, there's a lot of sinners that are wise and they have wealth and luxury, right? But they don't have peace. They don't have Jesus. They're not satisfied. Look how many of these people that are billionaires commit suicide. They don't have Jesus. Hallelujah. So the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. And 1 Timothy 6:9 says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, which means eternal judgment. There's a lot of people out there that have won the lottery over the years. A lot of people. People that desire to be rich and play the lottery need to give heed to those two scripture verses that I just read. After all, the odds of winning the lottery are quite slim, as we all know. But the odds that your life will be exactly what those two verses just said is quite high. For instance, and after all, of course, I did some research on this as well. Jack Whitaker, I don't know if you've ever heard of that guy. He won $314 million in the lottery. $314 million. Here's the thing about Jack. He was already a millionaire. He had a construction business and was worth over $16 million already. Great construction business. Well known in the whole community. He was already worth $16 million. He already had money. It was already in his possession. So you would have thought, just given a few more million, he'd know how to handle it. Wrong. He didn't know how to handle it. It ruined his life. The Bible, as he just said, was a fool who fell into temptation and snares. His wife left him. His home burnt to the ground. He lost his daughter to cancer. He lost his granddaughter to drugs. That's what happens when you give her at 16 years old Mercedes and Hummers and Escalades and $5,000 a week allowance. Good Lord, unbelievable. He went to jail because he couldn't handle the pressure of hundreds of people calling him and knocking on his door, wanting all kinds of stuff. He set up a trust. He built three churches Wow, that was amazing. He tried to help people. The person that he was at the grocery store, he hired the person where he won the lottery ticket, set up a fund. And again, hundreds of calls a day. I want a new TV. I want a new car. I need this. It was unbelievable. So he wouldn't start getting drunk because he couldn't handle everything. So he was in jail all the time. It was horrible. People would break into his house, his business, and his cars to try to find money. And in the end, he died broke. He died broke. And before the money came in his hand, he was already a millionaire. Is what 1 Timothy said. He drowned in destruction. Billy Bob Jr., that's his name, won $31 million. $31 million. And in 2 years, he was broke and he shot himself. That's unbelievable. William Post won $16.2 million. And a year later, was in debt $1 million. What? Okay, dude. Good job. Gerald, this is just his name, not you. I thought of him when I saw that. Oh, let's say Gerald. Gerald Muswagen won $10 million. He had 6 children and a wife. And of course, the luxury, the cars, the houses, and everything. He dwindled it away. And he ended up having to find a job at a construction company to pay for the rental that he had to have with his 6 kids and his wife. And he ended up going to his parents' house and he hung himself in their garage. These scriptures are true. God doesn't lie. Material blessings can be a blessing from God to those who are wise, follow good godly instruction, and who are obedient. When Jesus comes on the scene in the New Testament, guess what happens? Poverty follows him. You think? Well, everybody said he was poor. Everybody said he was lowly, he was poor. No, wealth finds him right away. It does, that's right. Listen, we know that Joseph and Mary might have not had a lot of money. But Joseph and Mary weren't poor. Hello, he was a carpenter. His dad was a carpenter. A finished carpenter, a skilled carpenter. A skilled craftsman, like a construction company guy. That's who he was. So he followed his dad. And of course, we know Jesus also was a carpenter too. So they weren't busted, poor, broke. They may not had a lot of money, but they definitely weren't poor. And of course, remember that Joseph and Mary went to the inn. Of course, they tried to find a place. And of course, they was in a manger. It wasn't because that they were poor. No, it's because they were all full. All the hotels in Walpock were full. They went everywhere. They couldn't find anything. And Mary, can you imagine? Joseph! Joseph! My water broke. Oh, Jesus. You know, go look at that hotel. Go look at that hotel. It wasn't that they were poor. Everything was full. That's why they were in a manger. You know, we sing that, away in a manger, no crib for a bed. Now, I do believe that that needs to be changed. Away in a manger, no rooms at the inn. I mean, okay, I was supposed to be funnier than that too. Now on a side note, people say that Mary and Joseph could not have been poor anyway because the wise men brought all those gifts. But we must remember, it was not till 2 years old that they found him. It wasn't until 2 they found him, and he was at their home. They had a home. Wow, you know that? Gee, they weren't living in the inn. Or in the field, now they had a home. So it was 2 when they found Jesus. And listen to this. Jesus was presented to the priest at the temple 40 days after she gave birth. This is why people say that he was rich because he had all that, but that's not true, or that Mary and Joseph were rich. It's not true because after 40 days after birth, they had to present themselves. And it says it like this. We know this because Leviticus 12, 1 and 4 says that after she gave birth, she is unclean for 7 days. This is the law. On the 8th day, Jesus was circumcised. Then her purification lasted another 33 days. Okay, that's 40. She must then bring Jesus to the priest. Okay, that was their law. That's what they had to do. Well, we know they were poor because the Bible says, according to Scripture, she brought 2 turtle doves. That means you were poor. Okay, Leviticus 12:8 says, and if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So Jesus didn't get the wealth until he was 2 years old. So therefore, yeah, they may have been not pure broke, but poor, not had enough money to bring a lamb. So they brought the two turtle doves. So, you know, people get all the Bible all misinterpreted and all messed up. You got to read the scripture and find out what was what and how it happened. Right? Amen? All right. Okay. So, but back to the now point, wealthy magi came looking for him. Came looking for him. For a great king, basically. And of course, it was customary in that day, as it is today, to give gifts of value to royalty. These gifts were worth a fortune due to their rarity and the expense to bring these things so far away. They traveled for weeks and maybe even months to find Jesus. Frankincense and myrrh were even more valuable than gold in Jesus' day. And of course, again, through a lot of research and studies done on the Magi and in Persia, some think that those gifts that they gave to Jesus were worth well over $4 million today. Jesus was poor, buddy. I wish I was that poor. Okay. Are you with me? Okay. So yes, Jesus preached from borrowed boats. Yes, he multiplied borrowed food. Yes, he rode on a borrowed colt. And yes, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And yes, he had no place to lay his head. Why was that? Because he traveled so much. If you look in the scripture before, he says, "And I have no place to lay my head." A guy said, "Hey, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, everywhere you go. I'm going to be right there with you." And he says, "Whoa, be careful, bro. I'm a traveling evangelist. And I'm going from city to city, town to town. I don't have a place to lay my head. I'm not sure that you want to follow me." It wasn't because Jesus was poor and had no place to lay his head. Read the Bible, and you'll see just that. Well, if he had plenty of money, then why didn't he have any money to pay his taxes, and he had Peter go get it out of a fish's mouth? Okay, now I'm going to get right down to brass tacks with you. The temple tax was a personal tax. It had nothing to do with his ministry. And you don't dip into ministry money for personal things. That's a no-no. That sends you to jail. Jesus was pretty smart. Yo, go out there and get that. What kind of question is that anyway? I mean, how many times have you went fishing, David, and there came your coin out of that fish's mouth? Wow, I don't even understand that. See, this is why our audits around here are A plus 100. We know exactly what we know, and we do it the right way, just like Jesus did. You don't mess with it. Hallelujah. You can say amen there if you want. Okay. So how much do you think it cost, guys, if Jesus was poor, to have 12 full-time employees for 3.5 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Those of you who have businesses, you might know that. It costs a lot of money, of course. And of course, you had one of them pilfering from you as well the whole time, stealing out of the money box. That's pretty good. So Jesus also gave to the poor all the time. There was one scripture verse where Judas was getting ready to betray Jesus, and they had a little altercation. And all the other disciples saw what was happening, but couldn't tell what Jesus said. And it said, well, he must be telling Judas to go give some money to the poor. If that didn't happen all the time, they wouldn't assume that's what Jesus was telling Judas. Oh, yeah? Amen? All right. Yeah. Now, you find out in John 13:28 if you want to look at that. And now, I'm reading this very closely because Jesus had a money bag. The ministry money bag was with him at all times. And so I found a scripture verse where I think, this is just me, guys, I think I know how much was in the money bag at this particular time. I was like, yes. When I saw this, I was like, did this come from you or is this just me? You know? In John 6:4, if you look at this, it says, "Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?'" Guys, there's 15,000 people there that was following him. Okay? Now, Jesus was testing Philip because he already knew what he was going to do, but he was testing Philip. So now, if somebody came to you and said, "Hey, David, where are we going to get all of this food to feed these people?" The first thing David's going to do, he's going to get in the jar, the cookie jar, and go, "Well, I got to see how much money we have first." So that's what Philip did. Philip, I'm sure, ran straight to the money box and looked in and counted everything he had to see, do we have enough money to feed 15,000 people? I would have done it, wouldn't you? Normal person would do that. You know, hello, I do it all the time. Nicole says, "Hey, I need a coffee. I got to look and see how much money I have. Do I have enough for a coffee?" That's my allowance. It's so bad. In verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." I said, "I got it. Woo! Now let's do some research on a denarii and see what it was." And apparently, he looked in the bag, he counted all of them, he only had 200 denarii. So how much did Jesus have in the money bag in the ministry? I was so excited as I was looking at this. A denarii is a small, solid silver coin. And if he had 200 of them in the money bag, then in today's value, Jesus had $16,000 in the ministry money bag. Man, that's pretty poor. Pretty poor dude walking around there. He was so poor. Man, I was more excited than that, but okay. I was like, yes, I finally got something. Yes, praise the Lord. Okay, hallelujah. Jesus even wore nice clothes. So nice that the Romans didn't tear it apart, but they gambled for it. Mm-hmm. The only time Jesus became poor is when he was on the cross. Yeah, Jesus became poor on the cross so that you and I may be rich, the Bible says. So what does it mean to be poor? To be in poverty? Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, is about blessings and cursings. 14 blessings are listed, but then also 54 curses are listed in that same chapter. 14 blessings if you listen to God, and of course 54 if you don't. And I just want to read two verses out of there. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 and 48. "Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy, gladness of heart, for the abundance of everything," it's God's will for you and I, abundance of everything, "therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything." Listen, being hungry, being thirsty, being naked, and in need of everything, that's poverty. Is it not? That's poverty. And of course, Jesus had all things on the cross. Well, he hadn't eaten for at least 24 hours at least. At the end, what did he say? "I'm thirsty." And of course, he was completely naked on the cross. And he was in need of everything. That's poverty. He became poor for us so we might be rich, so we don't have poverty. Praise God. Man, that was a shouting spot right there. Through Jesus, all the blessings that God gave Adam and Eve were finally given back to us. They were finally ours again. Hallelujah. Amen? Thank God he let the Gentiles in. Thank God he let us in. The blessings of hope, deliverance, healing, reconciliation, salvation, eternal life, and abundance are all ours this day. You can have every one of them. We're supposed to be living in them. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." You know, those that hate him, he curses them up to 4 generations. Woo! But those who love him, he blesses up to 1,000 generations. Oh, I thank God my parents and grandparents and great-greats all loved him. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 7:13 says, "And he will love you and bless you and multiply you." Jesus didn't tell the rich young ruler to go sell all that he had and follow him because he had great wealth. Jesus told him to go sell everything because wealth had him. A lot of people mess that scripture up. If you'll notice and read that, what Jesus did, he says, "Well, have you obeyed this and this commandment and this commandment and this commandment?" And he said, yes, I've obeyed all of them. But which commandment did Jesus not talk to him about? Covetousness. Because Jesus knew in his heart he coveted money. He coveted wealth. That's why he didn't say anything about that commandment. And unfortunately, Jesus was right when he turned around and walked away because of his great wealth. It had him. He didn't have it. Okay. So to answer my own question, in starting our series today, Releasing the Blessing, is it God's will for us to be blessed? Yes, it is God's will for us to be blessed. We are supposed to be blessed so we can be a blessing. And we are blessed to be a blessing. Now, I could have done all that in 5 minutes. We could have shut our Bibles, prayed, and went to breakfast. Because that's it. We are blessed to be a blessing. It's as simple as that. It's not homiletical, philosophical, homiletical. It's simple. It's simple. Money is simply a tool that God uses and calls his people to steward for his glory. For his glory, not ours. We're nothing without him. It's for him. I'll give you a quick illustration here. So next week, when we go to the Ivory Coast, I've never been there before, and they've never had a kids' crusade ever. They've never let anybody in the public schools ever. So I get to go to the public schools, and we're having two kids' crusades. We're making history in the Ivory Coast. Making history. And of course, I don't never go without something. Me, I'm an object lesson guy, and I think about things that we're going to do. How am I going to? What am I going to do for 30,000 kids that show up at the crusade grounds? You know, what am I supposed to do? So over the years, I've learned some things, and one thing that I do is I buy frisbees, and on the back of the frisbees, I put the ABCs of salvation: admit, believe, and confess, and show how it happens. Well, this is a French-speaking country; there is no English there at all. So I had all of the ABCs of salvation put in French there on the back of the frisbee. Well, we have those kind of ready, but I never had frisbees. So I had a guy, Tim Luntz, he's over here in this section. He always buys frisbees. Last Africa, he bought 1,000 frisbees, and then I've used them a couple different times, put them in, we've given them away. They was pretty good quality. Well, I went to Amazon, and I found 300 frisbees, and I bought 300 frisbees to take with me. They were like pennies on the dollar. I got him, and I was excited, and I went outside, and I'm a pretty good frisbee thrower. And so I threw that frisbee, and it went, and this is one of them. It just flopped. I was like, what? I went and got it. Of course, Midnight had to try to get it from her, too. Just threw another one out, bam. I'm like, is it me? Is it me? Is it my wrist? All right? So I got another one. Threw it. Nothing. I could throw all the way back to you in the back there. Nothing. So I threw it another time. It hit my roof, and it cracked. It cracked. This is the quality of the frisbees that I bought. And so I was upset, and I called Slip Disc Ministries. I've used them in the past. They were $1.98 a frisbee, but now they're $3.15 a piece. Prices have doubled. So you buy 200 of those are $650 for 200 lousy frisbees. Well, I got them. He puts French all on the back of them for me, the ABCs of salvation. And they're coming, and they're coming. When I got with Glenn, that was his name, the owner, on the phone, and we were talking about, I said, Glenn, man, yeah, I need them next week. Can you please them? Yes, Pastor Andy, I'll get them for you. He said, it's crazy. He didn't know what I did. I didn't tell him that I bought anything or anything. He said, I just need 200 frisbees. And he said, what amazes me is why in the world people put the greatest message of all time on cheap stuff to give away. And I said, amen, Glenn, I agree. Hallelujah. I'd never do that. Jeez. I think that was the Lord speaking to me. Don't ever do that again, to somebody else. But listen, we are blessed to be a blessing. It's not free to do what we're doing. But I'm throwing 200 messages of salvation out different places in these 30,000 or 40,000 kids, and who knows where they're going to go and what impact it's going to have in that country from years, days, months, whatever's going to happen. How many thousands of salvations might happen because of 200 frisbees with God's message in French on them that are quality? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are blessed so we can do things like this. I have no clue what it costs to even get over there in the most horrible seats that we are put in with the chickens and the cows to even get over to the Ivory Coast. A couple $1,000 just to get me there in that kind of a seat, scrunched between people, so I can do this kind of stuff. I have 10 soccer balls that have French all over them. The gospel is in French. It's called the mission ball. You've seen them before. It's all in French. $25 a ball now. $250 for 10 lousy soccer balls. So I can give them to each school and present them to the schools as I go and share the gospel that way. It costs money. That's why we are blessed, so we can be a blessing. Amen? Hallelujah. It's simple as that. Now, okay, I'm going to close with this. 1 John 3, 17 and 18 says this. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, that's you and me, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. In other words, talk is cheap. I was doing a paint job on a duplex outside. This was my last one of the season. I've been doing them all summer. I tried to talk to a lady. She was cold as ice. She was one of the tenants. She was cold as an iceberg. She'd open up her garage door. I said, hello, hi. Go in, shut the garage door. I was like, yeesh, she's cold. How am I going to get to this woman? I'm trying to witness to people. I'm trying to be a good witness and do what we preach. So I have these little cards, you know. Another day comes out. I said, okay, I'm going to get her today. I go over to her. Hi, hello. Garage door. Jeez. Well, I'm going to have to talk to you because I'm going to have to paint your door and your front door. So I'm going to get you one of these days. The third day, she comes out with her little doggie. Her name is Faith. And so I thought, this is it. I went over to her. I said, well, hi. I heard you say your dog's name is Faith. Yes, it's Faith. Oh, okay. Faith, come here. Faith comes running to me. I said, hi, Faith. How are you? Pet her, pick her up. She's licking me all over her face and everything. I said, well, thank you for the bath. Thank you for the bath. I said, how long have you had Faith? 9 years. She's 9 years old. I said, oh, okay. Well, that's very nice. I have a little dog also. And everything else, and started talking. She started opening up a little bit. And she said, you're doing a great job. I said, well, thank you so much. I said, we value our work and we do what's good. It's good. It's great. And then I just said, so I see a thing here in your yard. It's a motorcycle sign and it has a name on it. Yes, my son was killed in a motorcycle accident. He was 29 years old. And 4 months later, my husband divorced me. I said, I am so sorry. And she said, and then I got married again. He divorced me. I said, I am so sorry to hear that. And I said, wow. I said, do you go to church anywhere? I used to go to church. I've been out for a while. And I said, okay. I said, well, have you ever heard of Only Believe Church in Bawkins? Yeah, there was a cooking school there. I remember that. Yeah, I said, yeah, there was. I was there 4 times with my daughter who lives in Anna. I said, oh, well, that's fantastic. Wonderful. That's very good. And I just kind of like, okay, that's great. And she said, well, I got to go to the laundromat. I said, you got to go to the laundromat? She said, yeah, I haven't had a dryer for a couple years and stuff. So I just got to go. I have a washer, but I have a dryer. And I said, okay, well, have a good day. I call up Nicole. Nicole, how much do we have in our seed envelope that we have for people? I don't even remember what she told me. But even if it wasn't enough, I said, well, find the money. I bought a dryer. Now, I'm only telling you this for this. Because we're blessed to be a blessing. If not, I wouldn't tell it to nobody. Maybe a couple people, and that's it. Because it doesn't matter. You know, that's your reward then when you tell what you do. That's what the Bible says. So I had good old Mark Dish, wherever he's at, he's upstairs. I said, Mark, man, I'm busy, bro. Can you go up and buy this dryer? I bought it for somebody. Sure. Man, Mark goes up, gets the dryer. I meet him at the lady's house, call the manager. They leave the garage door open. I put scoot it in there, shut the garage door, and she calls the lady and says, hey, when you open up your garage, just be careful. There's something in there. She comes home. There's a dryer in there. She couldn't believe it. Unfortunately, the manager told her I did it. So she said, why? How much do I owe you? I said, you owe me nothing. I said, this is God's love. And I hand her one of those cards. I said, you know what? I said, come to church sometime. And if you don't want to come here, find a good one and get in church. And she said, thank you. I will. I even bought her the pigtail for it because it didn't have a pigtail. When you do something, do it right. Yeah? So I sow to see. I am blessed, so I am going to be a blessing. And when I see a need and I don't do anything, what am I? The Bible says, does the love, is it in here? Being blessed with wealth and material things is not a sin, and it's not wrong. God himself, as we see throughout all scripture, desires to bless us and be a blessing to others. And I'm going to rightly close out today with a scripture. Everybody stand up. I'm going to let the Lord have the last word on how blessed people should walk out their Christian life, as Paul tells Timothy. It's in 1 Timothy 6:17-19. And it says, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to what? Enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share." He's talking about us, Christians. "Thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." Wow. What a way to end. Money comes into our hands so it can go through our hands to do good. And a lot of it trickles on us. Because of our obedience, because of our love, God will bless you and me. It's endless. It's endless. So today, maybe you don't even have a clue who God is, let alone his love, let alone be obedient. You've never come to church before, you have, and you know nothing about the gospel. This is the first time you've heard anything like this. And think, man, this is good stuff. And right here, he's working right here. If that's you today, you say, man, I want some of that. I want some of that blessing. I want to be a blessing. There's a multi-billionaire who was a Christian, and his goal in life was to see how much money he could give away. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. Wow. Hobby Lobby owners, they give away 90% and keep 10. That's why they are blessed and rich. Yes. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus and say, hey man, I want to be blessed. I want him in here, which is the most ultimate blessing that we can have. Then just raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you today. Anybody in here at all? I want that Jesus you're talking about. Anybody? Anybody? I'm looking. Nobody? Okay. If Jesus comes back Wednesday morning after the election and you're still here, don't blame me. Hallelujah. Now, 10 hands went up. Yes, yeah, no. All right, listen, after church, you want to come down front with our prayer team? They're going to be here right now. Come on down, prayer team. You want to ask the Lord to help you? This happens a lot. We'll pray for you. We love you. If you have sickness, disease, you need prayer for anything, they're here for you as well. It's what we're here for. Let me bless you guys and send you on your way. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the word, Lord God. I thank you that it penetrates our hearts. God, I thank you for restoring that blessing that Adam and Eve lost and giving it back to us, entrusting us with your finances, blessing us. God, we repent if we've messed things up, if we have been greedy, we only think about us. God, we repent for that right now in Jesus' name. If you've asked us to do something for somebody and we haven't done it, we ask for forgiveness for it. God, I know that you forgive us. You give us another chance and you help us. We want to be a blessing and lead people to Jesus and do what's right and do good. I thank you for blessing us. Thank you for blessing everything that we put our hands to. You said you would and that we would prosper. Thank you for that today. Thank you for the love of Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and your grace that we have today. God, I bless every person here today under the sound of my voice that as they leave today, they will be blessed in everything they do, everywhere they go, every hand that they put to work, it's blessed. I thank you for that today, Lord. We give you praise for it. And everybody said, amen. We love you guys. Be blessed. We'll see you Wednesday night. Hallelujah.